The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Welcome to Flavor. I'm your host, Liz Elliott. Life is full of flavor, especially in the kitchen. Each month, I'm going to pick a particular flavor or ingredient to explore. We'll talk about how we came to enjoy it and what other kinds of uses you may find for it. I have so many great kitchen stories and healthy living tips to share with you. And of course, I'll give you delicious recipes in every single episode. Happy New Year! This month, I decided to focus on a flavor that seems bland, but is actually quite popular. I'm talking about vanilla. It's a kitchen staple. And often it's a basic flavor background for more exotic toppings and accompaniments. But on its own, vanilla, real vanilla, is a flavor powerhouse. But to begin, let's turn to National Geographic for a history of how vanilla got to be so popular. The history of vanilla. By and large, Americans seem to like vanilla ice cream better than chocolate. There's a little waffling here. One source claims it's actually Democrats who prefer vanilla while Republicans go for chocolate. And a Baskin-Robbins poll found that there's a substantial contingent in the Southwest that shuns both in favor of mint chocolate chip. On the other hand, the International Ice Cream Association, which should know, puts vanilla at the top of the charts as first choice of 29% of ice cream eaters, feebly followed by chocolate at 8.9%, butter pecan at 5.3%, and strawberry at 5.3%. Given our passion for vanilla, it seems peculiar that plain vanilla is the going synonym for anything basic, bland, or blah. A plain vanilla wardrobe lacks pizzazz. Plain vanilla technologies lack bells and whistles. Plain vanilla automobiles miss out on chromes, fins, and flashy hood ornaments. And plain vanilla music is the sort of soulless drone that afflicts us in elevators. The truth is, though, that plain vanilla is anything but dull. Vanilla is a native of South and Central America and the Caribbean, and the first people to have cultivated it seem to have been the Totonics of Mexico's East Coast. The Aztecs acquired vanilla when they conquered the Totonics in the 15th century. The Spanish, in turn, got it when they conquered the Aztecs. One source claims that it was introduced to Western Europe by Hernan Cortes, though at the time it was eclipsed by his other American imports, which included jaguars, opossums, an armadillo, and an entire team of ballplayers equipped with bouncing rubber balls. The Aztecs drank their chocolate with a dash of vanilla, and Europeans, once they got used to the stuff, followed suit. One appalled Spaniard described chocolate as a drink for pigs. Vanilla was thought of nothing more than an additive for chocolate until the early 17th century, when Hugh Morgan, a creative apothecary in the employ of Queen Elizabeth I, invented chocolate-free, all-vanilla-flavored sweetmeats. The Queen adored them. By the next century, the French were using vanilla to flavor ice cream, a treat discovered by Thomas Jefferson in the 1780s when he lived in Paris as an American minister to France. He was so thrilled with it that he copied down a recipe now preserved in the Library of Congress. Vanilla came late to recipe books. According to food historian Waverly Root, the first known vanilla recipe appears in the 1805 edition of Hannah Glass's The Art of Cookery, which suggests adding vanillus to chocolate. The first American recipe for vanilla ice cream is found in Mary Randolph's The Virginia Housewife from 1824. By the latter half of the century, the demand for vanilla skyrocketed, Not only was it the established flavor of choice for ice cream, but it was an essential ingredient of soft drinks, among those Atlanta chemist John S. Pemberton's Coca-Cola, which went on sale in 1886, impressively advertised as an esteemed brain tonic and intellectual beverage. The problem with vanilla is that it's pricey. Vanilla is the second most expensive spice in the world after saffron because its production is so labor-intensive. Vanilla grows as a clinging vine, reaching lengths of up to 300 feet, from which sprout pale greenish-yellow flowers about 4 inches in diameter. These, in Mexico, vanilla's native habitat, are pollinated by Melipona bees and occasionally by hummingbirds. Each flower remains open for just 24 hours, after which, if not pollinated, it wilts, dies, and drops to the ground. Frankly, given this very narrow window of opportunity, the very existence of vanilla seems like an evolutionary long shot. If pollination is successful, a fruit develops in the form of a 6 to 10 inch long pod, filled with thousands of minuscule black seeds. Transplants of vanilla to tropical and presumably vanilla-friendly regions around the world, however, lacking the proper bees, remained podless until 1841, when Edmund Albius, a 12-year-old enslaved boy on the island of Reunion in the Indian Ocean, figured out how to hand-pollinate vanilla blooms using a stick and a flip of the thumb. The simple technique had far-reaching implications. Vanilla plantations sprang up across the globe, from Madagascar to India, Tahiti, and Indonesia. Today, about 75% of the world's vanilla comes from Madagascar and Reunion. The vanilla beans, which at harvest looked like string beans, are individually hand-picked as they become ripe, and are then subjected to a prolonged, multi-step curing process. The end result is the desiccated but aromatic black pod sold by spice purveyors. The pokiness of the vanilla plant, it takes 9 months for the pods to ripen, and the grueling nature of the harvesting and post-harvest preparation means that we, internationally, don't produce much vanilla. Total worldwide production is about 2,000 metric tons, which is a drop in the bucket when it comes to vanilla demand. The vast bulk, 99% of vanilla-flavored products on the market, from vanilla-flavored vodka to vanilla wafers and vanilla pudding, don't actually contain vanilla. Vanilla is a stunningly complex and subtle spice, containing, at a guess, somewhere between 250 and 500 different flavor and fragrance components. The most prominent of these is vanillin, which, despite its ungainly chemical moniker, is relatively straightforward to synthesize. Vanillin can be made from petrochemicals, from lignin, a byproduct of the wood pulp and paper industry, and from eugenol, a component of clove oil. It can even be produced from castronium, a molasses-like secretion from the anal glands of beavers, though this admittedly is a minor source. Synthetic vanillin is at least 20-fold cheaper than real vanilla, which explains why it's manufactured and sold to the tune of 20,000 metric tons per year. If you're nibbling on something vanilla-flavored or sniffing something vanilla-scented, chances are that you're enjoying synthetic vanillin, not natural vanilla. This makes the recent Campaign for Natural Vanilla, launched by the environmental organization Friends of the Earth, look downright dumb. What FOE is protesting is Synbio vanillin, a product of the synthetic biology industry. Synbio products are made by engineering artificial DNA sequences, which are implanted in living cells such as algae or yeast. The cells are then grown up in large quantities in fermenters, and the products they manufacture are purified from the culture medium. Yeast has been engineered in this fashion to make valencine and nicotone, the chemicals responsible for the citrusy smells of oranges and grapefruit used in perfumes. And Ecover, a Belgian synthetic biology company, uses a modified single-cell algae to produce a synbio version of palm kernel oil used in soap. A hope here is to protect the tropical rainforests from being felled in favor of palm trees. A recent article in Mother Jones claims that synbio vanillin, quote, will compete directly with the premium-priced natural vanilla market now owned by farmers in places like Madagascar and Mexico, end quote. Well, it won't. It will compete with the substantial synthetic vanillin industry, the guys who are making vanillin from petrochemicals and wood pulp. And both techniques, synthetic biology and synthetic chemistry, are making exactly the same molecule, vanillin. There's nothing wrong, weird, or dangerous about either synthetic vanillin or synbio vanillin. But to imply the synbio version is somehow creepy, as opposed to the old-fashioned kind made out of coal tar, is just plain silly. Neither vanillin, however, is real vanilla. If you want real, plain vanilla, you'll need a vanilla bean. Of course, this month I have tons of recipes for you that highlight the warm, sweet flavor of vanilla. But let's start with a basic Country Living's vanilla sugar cookie recipe. This is Country Living's vanilla sugar cookies. This recipe yields 2 dozen cookies. The ingredients are as follows. 3/4 of a cup of margarine or butter or solid vegetable shortening. 1.5 cups of confectioner sugar. 1 teaspoon vanilla extract. 1 large egg. 2 3/4 cups of all-purpose flour. 3/4 teaspoon baking powder, 1/2 teaspoon of ground cinnamon, and 1/4 teaspoon of salt. And here are the directions. The first step. In a large bowl with an electric mixer at medium speed, beat the margarine, sugar, and vanilla until it's light and fluffy. Then beat the egg in well. The second step. In a small bowl, combine the flour, baking powder, cinnamon, and salt. At low speed, beat the flour mixture gradually into the margarine mixture to blend well. Refrigerate the dough wrapped in plastic wrap at least 30 minutes. For the third step, heat your oven to 350 degrees Fahrenheit. Proceed to shape, bake, and cool your cookies. Baked cookies will be a light golden brown. Decorate the cool cookies and store in airtight containers. Maybe all the unseasonable warmth we had around the holidays doesn't quite have you in the mood for baking. Well, here's an easy recipe that requires absolutely no baking, and it would also be a wonderful palate for any number of beautiful fruits in the summer. It's Country Living's frozen vanilla cream dessert. This is Country Living's frozen vanilla cream dessert. This yields 18 servings and should take around 1 hour and 30 minutes. The ingredients are as follows. 2 cups of graham cracker crumbs. 6 tablespoons of butter. 2 containers of creamed cottage cheese, 1/2 cup of sugar, 1/2 gallon of vanilla ice cream, 2 cups pecans, and 1 container of frozen whipped topping. And here are the directions. In a 13-inch by 9-inch glass baking dish, with your hand, Mix the graham cracker crumbs with butter. Press firmly onto the bottom of the dish. Freeze until firm, about 10 minutes. In the next step, take your food processor with a knife blade attached, or in the blender at medium speed. Blend the cottage cheese and sugar until it's smooth. Transfer into a large bowl and stir in the softened ice cream. Spoon the mixture into a baking dish and freeze 1 hour to firm the ice cream mixture slightly. In the final step, sprinkle the top evenly with pecans. Spoon whipped topping onto decorating bag with a large star tube used to pipe a border in a lattice design on top of the dessert. Freeze at least 6 hours or until firm. Many people will find this hard to believe, but not everyone likes chocolate cake. Well, the following is the Southern Living recipe for snowy vanilla cake with a cream cheese buttercream. It'd be lovely topped with birthday candles or anytime you're just craving cake. This is Southern Living's recipe for snowy vanilla cake with cream cheese buttercream. The total time takes about 1 hour and 35 minutes, and they count this as 12 servings. The big white cake has been a tradition at Southern Living since 1995. Each year, our readers, as well as the staff, eagerly anticipate the December issue, anxious to bake and enjoy this show-stopping dessert. This year's fabulous cake really raises the bar. Not only is it incredibly delicious, but the eye-catching cake ball ornaments make it almost too pretty to eat. Cake flour, egg whites, and a generous amount of vanilla extract make these layers light, tender, and aromatic. Save time by baking the cake layers in advance. Freeze them until you're ready to assemble the cake. We've topped this year's white cake with cream cheese buttercream. You can easily manipulate the frosting into fun petals or a more traditional smooth finish. Don't forget the show-stopping cake ball ornaments when you're finally ready to display your cake. The ingredients for the cake are as follows. 2 1/4 cups granulated sugar. 1 1/4 cups salted butter, softened. 7 large egg whites at room temperature. 3 1/2 cups cake flour, plus more for the pans. 4 teaspoons baking powder. 1/2 teaspoon of salt. 1 cup of water. 2 teaspoons vanilla extract. And vegetable shortening. Here is how you make the cake. Step 1. Preheat the oven to 350 degrees Fahrenheit. Beat the sugar and butter at medium speed with a heavy-duty stand mixer until fluffy, about 3 to 5 minutes. Gradually add the egg whites, 1/3 at a time, beating well after each addition. Step 2. Sift together the cake flour, baking powder, and salt. Gradually add to the butter mixture alternately with water, beginning and ending with the flour mixture. Stir in the vanilla extract. Pour the batter into 3 greased with shortening and floured 9-inch round cake pans. Step 3. Bake in the preheated oven until a wooden pick inserted in the center comes out clean, 19 to 21 minutes. Cool in the pans, on wire racks, 10 minutes. Remove from pans to wire racks and cool completely, which should take about 30 minutes. The following are the ingredients for the buttercream frosting. You'll need 1 8-ounce package of cream cheese, softened. 1 cup of salted butter, softened. 2 16-ounce packages of powdered sugar. 2 tablespoons of whole milk. 2 tablespoons of vanilla extract. and a quarter teaspoon of salt. The first step. Beat the cream cheese and salted butter with an electric mixer on medium speed until smooth. Gradually add the powdered sugar, whole milk, vanilla extract, and salt, and beat until smooth. Increase the speed to medium-high and beat until light and fluffy. Finally, spread the cream cheese buttercream between layers and on top and sides of your cooled cake. Okay, maybe you made a resolution to eat healthier this year. I probably should too. And frankly, my body would like something aside of just sugar and baked goods, even though they are delicious. And they're probably, to be honest, the bottom of my personal food pyramid. Well, I found just the recipe for us. And I'm really excited to try it because it involves something that I've never actually done. It uses a real vanilla bean. This is Real Simple's recipe for grapefruit salad with vanilla. I can almost smell all of the beautiful smells coming from the salad just reading these ingredients. This is Real Simple's recipe for grapefruit salad with vanilla. Takes about 10 minutes, hands-on, total time should be about 20 minutes, and it serves four. And here are the ingredients. One vanilla bean, 2 tablespoons granulated sugar, 2 red grapefruits, 1 pint of fresh raspberries, 1 ripe mango, sliced, and 1/4 cup of fresh mint leaves. And it's so easy to make. First step is split the vanilla bean in half lengthwise using a sharp paring knife. Run the dull side of the knife blade down the length of each half, scraping up the seeds. Combine the seeds and the sugar in a large bowl. Second step, cut away the peel and pith of the grapefruits. Slice into rounds and transfer to the bowl with any juices. Add the raspberries and the mango and just toss it to combine. Let it stand for 10 minutes and garnish with the mint if desired. In researching this episode, I found out that the world is actually in a vanilla shortage. And to give us a little background on this, I found an article from The Economist that explains the whole situation. Why there is a worldwide shortage of vanilla. Vanilla is one of the world's most popular spices and an important ingredient in products ranging from chocolate to perfume, but it is getting harder to find. Vanilla-rich foods like ice cream have been removed from shelves or have become pricier. Chefs are making what they have go further. The wholesale price of vanilla has reached $500 to $600 per kilo, when just a few years ago it fetched a tenth of that. What's happening? Madagascar supplies 80 to 85% of the world's natural vanilla. In the 19th century, the French introduced bourbon vanilla, a tropical vine orchid native to Mexico and parts of South America, to their African island colony. Vanilla represents 20% of Madagascan exports, worth around $600 million at current prices, but it is a difficult crop to grow. A vine takes 3 to 4 years to mature, or 2 if grown from a large, good quality cutting. The flowers open for just 1 day a year, so pollination is done by hand. 9 months later, the green beans must be hand-picked when perfectly ripe to optimize their vanillin content, the compound that gives vanilla its flavor. Harvests last from May in northern Madagascar to August in the middle of the country after the rainy season has brought the usual cyclones. Months of blanching, sweating, and gradual drying in the sun are then necessary to produce the aromatic spice. 600 hand-pollinated blossoms yield about 6 kilos of green beans, which convert to 1 kilo of dried beans. The price of Madagascar's vanilla was once set by the government, which formed a sort of vanilla cartel with nearby countries. But such were the prices it demanded for vanilla that in the 1980s, buyers turned their attention to the cheaper, poorer quality version available elsewhere, in particular Indonesia. Madagascar's government was eventually forced to end its price-fixing regime. Exacerbating the pressure, food giants such as Unilever, Mondelez International, and Nestle also increased their use of synthetic vanillin, which can be produced from reliable sources such as wood pulp and petroleum. As a result, for 20 years, Madagascar's vanilla farmers earned just a pittance, and many ended up leaving the business. But with even fewer producers, the price of natural vanilla stayed low, suppressed by the availability of synthetic vanillin. It was not until public taste started shifting towards all things natural that farmers' fortunes revived. From around 2011, some manufacturers began focusing once more on natural vanilla, while also changing their recipes to achieve the synthetic taste with which consumers had grown familiar. In 2015, Nestle announced plans to use only natural ingredients in 5 years, and others like Hershey's followed suit. Demand has therefore surged, and with it, prices, in part because vanilla takes years to mature, and natural supplies are insufficient. Extreme weather, weak crop security, and exporters who hoard inventory and speculate on further issues have also kept prices high. This rise has not been without its challenges. To prevent theft of their now rather valuable crops, farmers have taken to harvesting the beans early, before they're mature, thereby reducing the overall quality of the crop. The situation should improve in the future as the larger crop that was planted in response to increased demand comes to market. At the same time, the government needs to make greater efforts to enforce penalties for anyone caught dealing in unripe beans before the regional calendars allow. That would persuade farmers to leave beans on the vine until they're mature, improving both quality and yield. And if it manages this, Madagascar could yet savor the benefits of its near monopoly. And with that very interesting look at the economics behind the world vanilla shortage, we are out of time for Flavor this month. Thank you for spending time in your new year with me. I'm Liz Elliott, and I look forward to joining you again in February to explore new flavor. Until then, I want you to spend time this month celebrating all the flavorful things in life. Flavor is recorded for the North Carolina Reading Service. All articles are read exactly as written, unless edited for time. After the broadcast, it can also be found as a podcast on our website, ncreadingservice.org.